Today's scripture is from Romans 13, verses 8 through 12. Today, as we contemplate our summer theme of how we learn to be brave, we reflect on Paul's reminder to Christians in Rome that love is the greatest commandment of all. Let us open our ears, our minds, our imaginations, our souls, and connect back through time and space to hear this letter as though it were written for us here and now. Let no doubt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And whoever other command, and whatever other command there is that may be, are summoned up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour that has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in Spirit, for the word of God among us, thanks be to God. So at the beginning of this week, I was planning to tell a story about leaving a controlling relationship back in 2019, about how I realized that in the course of that relationship, I had finally internalized a sense of self-worth out of spite and anger towards the person I was dating at the time. I was gonna tell a story about how allowing myself to end the relationship, even though I'd never been physically struck or threatened, nevertheless required the courage to push through my fear of, what if I'm the one in the wrong? What if I'm somehow the bad guy? What if I'm being unreasonable? What is not wanting to be in the relationship anymore enough to leave it? Do I still deserve to be able to leave? It required overcoming my fear of my actions not being justified. According to who? I was going to tell a story about how I learned that acting lovingly towards myself was justification to leave. And then on Thursday, the budget bill passed. I had already spent the week listening to all the emergency bonus episodes that my favorite legal podcast, Strict Scrutiny, had released in the wake of the Supreme Court decisions, and I was doom scrolling. And it was scary. I was scared. I am scared. And I wondered if that's what I needed to talk about this morning instead. Now, I'll admit that part of me is like, Amy, is this just a cop-out to avoid having to refer to yourself as brave because it goes against your weird subconscious New England programming? It's a fair question, probably a question for my therapist. But to that question, I will say that if there is anyone who genuinely does want to hear my story about leaving a coercive relationship and about how actually being able to love myself required an unexpectedly large amount of bravery, send me a text or an email, and I promise I'll tell you about it over coffee sometime. Today, however, the loudest part of me is thinking about how this stuff going on in our country is legitimately scary, and wondering, what does it mean to be brave as an individual or as a community in how we face it? like wondering how does that bravery actually play out in our lives, especially for those who, for lack of a better term, have things to lose, who have to be tactical in their resistance because they have children depending on them, or because losing their job would mean losing their legal status, or for any host of reasons. I was thinking about this yesterday, and I decided to crowdsource some bravery, because bravery is contagious. Did you know that? It is. There's a little wine shop down the street from me, tucked away on a residential street, about half the size of the Willett Hall stage, maybe a little smaller. The floor is mostly covered with boxes. The owner, Jerry, has an incredible gift for building community. I think he's also the owner of the Washington Square Tavern in Brookline. Jerry's a gem. Drive by on any given afternoon and you will likely see folks sitting outside the wine shop on camp chairs with glasses, bottles, maybe a pizza or some cheese and crackers. I used to think it was an organized tasting with distributors. It turns out it was just Jerry opening up some of his favorite bottles and inviting people to stay for a chat, gathering us in like a benevolent stamp collector of people, or a friendship matchmaker, or the proverbial banquet host. Afternoons at the wine shop typically involve a mix of regulars and folks off the street, and the conversations, even those that reach across the political aisle, are always in good faith. This is one of the few places where I've seen grown men regularly share I love yous with one another when they depart for the evening. Yesterday, I swung by to ask the crew of faces, both familiar and unfamiliar, about what bravery in these times that we're living in looks like to them. So we talked about the courage to be vulnerable and engaging in good faith conversations with people that we disagree with. Being brave enough to listen, truly listen, for the true motives behind a person's political convictions, even if their stated motives lead to policy decisions that you find repugnant. One person mentioned the bravery it takes to build coalitions around an important issue, even, or perhaps especially, when it means working together with folks that you disagree with on other issues. And especially when it means that you might lose status amongst the more ideological, purity-focused members of the group. And that reminded me of a friend of mine who works for an organization called Nature is Nonpartisan. It's an organization that focuses on building coalitions across the political aisle, from Trump supporters to Bernie diehards to the politically apathetic who just want to surf, to lobby for ecological conservation and environmental protection policies. Now, this friend works alongside folks who she vehemently disagrees with on almost every issue out there except conservation. And this coalition gets results, as evidenced by their successful pressure campaign for Mike Lee to drop his provision for the sale of public lands from the budget bill. Sitting out there outside the wine shop, we also talked about bravery showing up as transitioning from the safety of independence into a network of interdependence. In other words, giving up some of your personal property or safety net in order to support the community, and then trusting that the community will have your back in return. We talked about braving the reserve New England culture to make a point of getting to know your neighbors. We talked about engaging in anarchist calisthenics. It sounds extreme, but hear me out. All that means is getting brave about breaking small, arbitrary rules, so that when your morals or your faith call you to break larger ones, you can muster the courage to do so. Think of it as the jaywalking to sheltering undocumented migrants in your attic pipeline. Look up that term, anarchist calisthenics. We're all going to have to be brave now. I saw a post by Laura Loomer, a conservative activist known for cozying up to Trump, talking about giving alligators outside a detention center 65 million meals if we start soon. That's not the number of undocumented migrants in this country. That's the number of Latino people living in America. She was openly calling for genocide. We're all going to have to be brave now. With funding cuts to Medicaid and food stamps, with tariffs and dismantling green energy projects, our daily lives are all going to get more expensive, some catastrophically so. So we all have to get used to making do with less, learning to pinch pennies and stretch a recipe. We're all going to have to be brave now. I don't say this to be fear-mongering, I promise. I say this to say that we are our siblings' keeper. And Johnny now has to make a GoFundMe for the emergency surgery that took out his appendix, and Marisol's kids still need to eat even though her SNAP benefits got cut, and Tucker's grandparents' nursing home is closing and it's the only one within a 2-hour drive. Bravery is getting used to making do with less so that you can have a little more to offer your neighbor, not just your money, but your time or your sense of independence. And to that point, we have to get to know our neighbors. You've probably heard me say before that you can't have socialism without getting a little social. It's easy for me as an extrovert, although I am shy. But get to know your neighbors. Know their names, their situations, their needs, and their gifts. Know them well enough to know that something's off because you haven't seen them out in their garden in the last week. Or enough to know that they're gonna need an extra hand with the kids because they can't afford daycare ever since their mom's TPS status got revoked and she can't work anymore. We're all going to have to be brave now. Scripture passage this morning says that love does no harm to a neighbor. It emboldens us to put on the armor of light for the facing of this hour. And so we have to let love be our bravery. We lean into community, into interdependence, into the love of our neighbor, and let that forge the armor that helps us be brave when life and love requires it of us. Love is less concerned about appearances or reputation than it is with relationship. Love isn't necessarily a feeling of affection, but it is always a deep commitment to honoring the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. Love is vulnerable. Love can work miracles. Love is bravery. So love bravely. It's the only way we're going to make it through. And so, siblings, I invite you just to rise for some good news. If you believe that love really does have the power to make a difference, if you believe that together our love can do more than any one single person, if you believe that as a community, love can have an impact, if you believe that love can make you brave, if you believe that God is love, if you have ever loved before, or if you are hoping to love, I invite you to say amen.
Amen.
May it be so.